The Lillian McDermott Show.
We love, we fear, bridges we burn, we make mistakes, then we live and learn. When life gets tough, and it seems like your best ain't good enough. If you're in need of hope, you know where I'll be. I'll be right here, right here. And when you need a friend, you can count on me. I'll be right here, right here, waiting for you.
This is the place you can always turn to when you need a friend, the Lillian McDermott Show. To reach out to Lillian, visit her on the web at whenyouneedafriend.com. Now let's all learn together. Here's Lillian McDermott.
Hello, my listening friends, and also my Facebook friends, because we are on Facebook Live today. And if you have a question for Kate Messick, you are going to be in for a treat, because, you know, when do you have the opportunity to sit with an attorney to give you some pearls, some wisdom? And so that is what you will find on the Lillian McDermott Radio Show, because the purpose of the show is to provide a safe place where you can go to when you need a friend. It is my commitment to provide alternative ways to heal, and it is my mission to make awareness, responsibility, and truth a part of our everyday life. And I hope you feel empowered to embrace a new truth and live the life of your dreams. Like I said earlier, we have Kate Messick in the house. I'm actually in the Jacksonville studio this morning, and we are going to talk about law. And you will find Kate pretty soon. I'll tell you about my Lily's Legal Dream Team, which has been a dream of mine to do, and I have my actual dream team going on in the Jacksonville area. Okay, so when today, because part of the dream team is we have personal injury, we have family law, workers' compensation, and criminal defense. You've already met Heath. He's my personal injury dream teamer. Family law, we have Connie Bird. And then for workers' comp, we have Terry Bird. And finally, I get to introduce you to criminal defense. And so here's the thing. This is why I wanted a criminal defense attorney. And I went through, I had to go through some great people to finally find Kate. When someone is in trouble with the law, it affects the entire family, not just the individual, but the individual that is in trouble will need someone to guide them. Where do you find someone to guide you? From the phone book? Or do you go to someone that you can trust? Do you go to someone, and although, hey, the phone book is a great place to find somebody, but do you know what you're getting? Is this using an eight ball or, you know, throwing a dart? You want someone you can trust. And so guess who I got to pick? I got to pick a former prosecutor, criminal defense attorney, Kate Messick of Messick Law in Jacksonville. Her office is in Jacksonville. And she's going to share what we need to do, what we need to know. First of all, when you are about to hire a criminal defense attorney, how do you know what to look for? So she's going to help us with that. And unfortunately, many people get a DUI. It may be, I'm going to tell you, a DUI will be life-changing. And she is going to share how you can minimize some of that change. And since it is our sole purpose in life to give and receive love and knowledge, I am grateful that attorney Kate Messick is here to do just that. Welcome, Kate, to the Lillian McDermott Radio Show.
Thank you for having me here, Lily. I'm really excited.
I know. And for those of you who are seeing us on Facebook, we did not match this. I think great minds think alike. We're both dressed in blue, power blue,
I would say.
And so share a little bit, Kate, about yourself and what brought you to this kind of being an attorney, a criminal defense attorney?
Well, thank you once again for having me here, Lily. I have been in Jacksonville for the last 20 years. Mm-hmm. I love the city. It's just a great place to be. I am originally from Moscow, Russia. I came here with my parents 20 years ago. And law school was something I decided to do probably my sophomore year in college.
Wow.
So you can hear an accent. It's here. Yeah. But I was an English major. And then ended up going to UF Law School. But I do criminal defense because I find that it's a really rewarding area of the law. You truly end up being able to help a family.
Yes. And I've never been in trouble with the law, knock on wood. However, I know that it could happen by accident. You know, you might be in a place, the wrong place at the wrong time, and you might get caught up on it as well.
Absolutely. And that's how DUIs happen most of the time. People have serious misconceptions about what the state actually has to prove in order to convict someone of DUIs. So as you and I talked about, I think it's important to also discuss how do people even get sucked into the criminal justice system? Because it's not really You don't get involved. You get sucked into it. And then how do you get out?
Yes. And there's so many television programs about the law.
Absolutely.
And how real are they? You know, because they solve everything within half an hour to an hour. How easy is it?
Of course, it's great entertainment, and I watch them myself. Don't get me wrong. But I do think that it's troublesome because it is an unusual scenario to do it this quickly.
Everybody is an individual, big or small. Kate Messick is here for you. And we're going to be talking about what to do if you're in trouble with the law or you want to hire a criminal defense attorney. It may not be that you're in trouble with the law. You just need someone to defend you. And we're going to continue our conversation with Kate Messick when we return worldwide and on Facebook at whenyouneedafriend.com. We'll be right here waiting for you. There we go.
You can text Lillian McDermott or leave her a voicemail at 407-373-5959. Once again, here's Lillian.
And welcome back to the Lillian McDermott Radio Show, where we always learn from one another. And today's teacher is Kate Messick of Messick Law. And for those of you who have ever needed representation, it doesn't mean that you're in trouble with the law. It just means that you need someone to defend you. You need a criminal defense attorney. It could be defending your right for anything. So let's talk about why a person might need a criminal defense attorney.
We talked about before, a lot of times the way people get involved or sucked into the criminal justice system is they either get arrested on the spot, whether it's a DUI or a misdemeanor of some sort, a warrant may be issued for their arrest, or believe it or not, I get calls every week from people who thought a ticket they got was civil and it's really criminal. And then a warrant is issued for their arrest.
Wow.
So a reckless driving is not careless driving. It's criminal. And then someone ends up with a warrant and they get pulled over for a speeding ticket, or their job pulls a background check and they go, you have a warrant for your arrest.
Ooh.
So no one wants to be in that situation. So we try to clean them up and hopefully they don't have to spend the night in jail. So
it's amazing because I was looking at you would need a DUI. You said traffic tickets. Now, there are certain things that you can do so that you can seal some of this information as well.
Right. You're talking about the very end of the case. And Florida is a little different from other states because we have the ability on certain crimes, even if someone enters a plea, the judge may decide not to convict them. It's called a withhold of adjudication.
Mm-hmm.
And in a lot of situations, again, there are specific crimes that can't be sealed or expunged. But if you have a withhold of adjudication, you may qualify for a sealing of your record. And what that really means is you can deny ever being arrested or entering a plea. So it's life-changing for certain people because you can finally get a job.
Wow. Wow. That's good. And that's something that you do on purpose.
Absolutely.
Where if you were defending yourself or if you say, you know, I really can't afford to hire an attorney, sometimes you can't afford not to.
You're absolutely right. And obviously, indigent defendants are entitled to the public defender's office and they uh-huh. get appointed a public defender. But the problem is those folks are really overworked. They have hundreds of cases mm-hmm. And they do a great job, but they can't put in the time, gather the needed mitigation and paint the real picture of the person that's being accused.
Very good. And you take the time to do that.
We do that on every single case. And I give a lot of homework to my clients and their families because, you know, I believe that the police report never tells the whole story.
Yeah.
And you never see the personal side of who that person is.
Okay. And so there's other sides of it. Like you, I was looking that you also handle small business law, contract development. Let's talk about contract development real quickly because
sure.
most people go into a business with thinking that everything's going to work out.
Mm-hmm.
But a contract is... what if it doesn't work out?
That is absolutely true. If you can think of family law in a divorce, people end up in my office in a business divorce.
Mm.
And I will tell you on a personal note, when my husband and his brother wanted to start a business, I made them sign a contract because I did not want that relationship to be ruined in the end.
Yeah.
So when they parted ways, it was amenable. You know, it wasn't a conflict situation.
That's very good because you don't think of these things. Oh, everybody's great. And all of a sudden you realize, oop, just like in marriage, this person changed overnight. So it doesn't have to be in trouble with the law. It could be that you want to enter into a business, franchise law you do, litigation, landlord tenants. So that is something that I would never think about getting a criminal defense attorney, but it's good to know. That how do you help in that situation?
Well, that's so obviously that's civil law. Mm-hmm. But in terms of contracts, again, you're doing preventative things. So you're not reacting. You're being proactive.
Mm-hmm.
So leases, you know, thinking of the issues that may happen or even on the evictions. There's so many people in town who own homes and they're landlords.
Mm-hmm.
But then what happens when the person destroys your house or they don't pay rent? You have to take action to do that.
Very good.
So that's the other side of my practice, so to speak.
And
yeah.
having that close by and having that where you are aware ahead of time, this is what's going to happen. You don't have to start reinventing the wheel if you ever need that afterwards. So let's take a look at, let's go back to DUI because
sure.
a DUI could happen to anybody mm-hmm. that is drinking and driving. Or maybe they took a combination of a medication and they don't even realize that they're impaired. So how do you come in? Where do you come in this situation?
So first thing I would say is, you know, don't drink and drive, obviously.
Of course, without a doubt.
Try to avoid that situation at all. But I want to kind of hone on what you just said mm-hmm. because it's not just alcohol. It's medication. It's drugs. What the state has to prove beyond a reasonable doubt to convict someone of DUI is that they were driving or in actual physical control of a car. So you may be just sitting behind a wheel and not moving,
yes.
but have actual physical control. And that your blood alcohol or breath alcohol level was above 0.08 or your normal faculties were impaired.
And what does that look like?
Exactly. So it's the ability to walk, talk, operate machinery, follow directions. So when you see a police report for a DUI case, you always see the field sobriety exercises. And what the officers are doing, they're basically figuring out, is the person okay to drive? Are their faculties impaired? And that means if they get to the jail and the person refuses to take the breath test, those exercises that they already took, could they walk the line? You know, do they have the balance? Do they follow directions? That can be used against them also as proof of impairment.
Mm.
So from the very beginning, the case is being built. But again, to go back to what you said, they're very different scenarios in every single DUI. I've never seen one that's exactly the same.
Really?
So
really? You think somebody drank, somebody... But let's look at what drinking looks like. So if I were to have a glass of wine, mm-hmm. am I able to drive?
I think you really need to consider, you know, standing right there, are you okay to drive? Would you put your child in the car with you that time?
But when somebody's impaired like this, they don't think.
That's exactly right. And that's where the problem comes in. I will tell you that it's disappointing sometimes when I get cases where people were at a bar with their friend and somebody let them drive. And I realize this is not really a criminal defense point, but I think we all need to look out for each other.
Sure.
Because some of these situations could have been easily avoided, especially now with Uber, or just don't let your friend drive if they're impaired. So
depending on, because everybody's alcohol level can be spiked differently, does the size of the person, because I've seen some people really drink a lot and really act as if they were okay. So how do you gauge as an individual? Because I care more about the person than I care about the relationship. So if I see somebody that needs to stay home or spend the night at our place, I'm very quick to offer that. But what can we do to avoid the situation? Prevention.
I think you make a good point. Obviously, the size of the person, their tolerance makes a difference. Okay. But sometimes appearance, in my opinion, is deceiving. It's not going to be somebody who's falling over drunk, for example.
Right.
Because even if they look normal, their breath alcohol level may still be above 0.08.
Correct.
It's just the way it is. So I would just say that I think people need to limit the amount of drinks they take before they drive. Mm-hmm. I mean, a glass of wine, I think, is acceptable. I mean, I think all of us have done that. But for someone really small, it still may be troublesome.
Correct. And so each individual is different.
Absolutely.
So there's no formula that says if you have two glasses of wine within an hour, you cannot drive because that's going to get your blood level or breathalyzer above 0.08.
I don't think there's a formula, I'll be honest with you. I've seen it where people have had several beers or they've had multiple mixed drinks. It just depends on the person. So I think you just have to use your best judgment and plan for not driving if you think you're going to go out with friends.
Okay, so you decided to drink and all of a sudden maybe you didn't stop and you get pulled over by the police. And now you're facing a potential DUI. So at what point do you call an attorney?
I think the first thing you need to do is take a deep breath and not panic.
Okay, that's a good advice.
I also always tell my clients that you need to know where is your driver's license, where is your registration and insurance.
Okay.
That's the first thing the officer is going to ask you. And I will tell you that every police report always says, couldn't find the registration, fumbled through. And when I was a prosecutor, I put that on the list of impairment signs.
Oh.
They don't know what's going on. They're confused. They can't even find their registration.
So they need to be, if you are being pulled over and you've had some things to drink, you better be aware of where everything is because that will be used against you.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And that's not to say that you should prepare for drinking and driving.
No, but yeah.
Right. But my point is, you should know where your registration and insurance is.
Yes.
I have clients that unfortunately will pull out their credit card and hand it to the officer instead of their driver's license.
That is
a problem.
That's going to be a bribe.
That is a problem. But they're thinking it's a driver's license. But part of that is real nervousness for someone
Correct.
When you face a police officer.
Correct. That's bad enough to get pulled over.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But my advice would be take a deep breath. You know, no one is going to call the officer right then and there. And you haven't been arrested yet, so you're not entitled to an attorney.
Okay.
The calls that I get are the morning after. Or if the person is still in jail, the family calls me so I can show up at first appearance the morning of.
Okay.
And make sure their bond is reasonable and bond conditions are reasonable.
Okay. So one of the things that you talked about and I want to kind of hone in on
Sure.
is the intention to drive.
Mm-hmm.
I knew of an individual that fell asleep behind the wheel. They knew they had had a lot to drink. They went into their car to sleep. The car was going. The car was
running.
Was on,
mm-hmm.
and he was arrested. He did not drive. He was in the car, but because he had had some stuff to drink and he had the keys to the car and the car was running, although he was asleep, they still got a DUI. How does that work?
So this is the first element that the state has to prove against someone. So you were either driving or in actual physical control. And that's exactly what you're talking about. There's a lot of case law in the state of Florida that talks about what is actual and physical control. So some of the elements, or I guess components you mentioned, is he had the keys, the car was running. Did that person have control over the car?
He was sleeping.
I realized he was sleeping,
and he was in the parking lot. He was still. So that is something that I want people to be aware of.
Absolutely.
That even doing that could get them arrested.
Throw your keys in the back seat. And right now, a lot of the cases we're seeing is very interesting is the push start. What happens in that scenario.
Whoa.
So a lot of the case law is coming out because your keys are not in the ignition. Your keys may not be on you.
Oh,
but what about
boy.
The push start?
So in this situation, there are many different scenarios that you could get arrested, even if your intention was not to drive and it was to take a little nap and get away from the crowd and sleep it off before driving. That could still come back and haunt you. So it's really important that we know, maybe have a plan that if you are drinking, like you said, Uber, mm-hmm. there are friends, there's a designated driver. Because, you know, if you do drive and you do drink, the consequences are huge.
They're huge. And one of the things I want to make sure to hone in the state of Florida, if you enter a plea to a DUI, it is a mandatory conviction.
Okay, tell us more about that.
So remember how we talked about a withhold of adjudication?
Mm-hmm.
That option is not available on a DUI. So if someone enters a plea to a DUI, it's a mandatory conviction. So my job is to make sure to find a way that they don't have to.
Even though they admit to it to you, but you can still make the blow a little bit easier.
Correct. There are ways to try to break down the charge to reckless driving or maybe get it dropped.
Very good. Well, and this, wow. We're going to be talking even more about why you would need to hire a criminal defense attorney with Kate Messick of Messick Law. She is an attorney in Jacksonville, and I'm really excited that she is part of Lily's Legal Dream Team. And we're going to continue our conversation when we return worldwide at whenyouneedafriend.com. We'll be right here waiting for you.
I'll be right here waiting for you.
You can text Lillian McDermott or leave her a voicemail at 407-373-5959. Once again, here's Lillian.
And welcome back to the Lillian McDermott Radio Show, where you can hear us worldwide at whenyouneedafriend.com. I am your host, Lillian McDermott, and it is my goal that we learn from one another. And today's teacher is Kate Messick. She's an attorney here in Jacksonville. She is part of Lily's Legal Dream Team that you will be able to hear on the third Saturday of the month on AM 600, WBOB, and 101.1 The Answer. That's FM 101.1 The Answer, the third Saturday of the month. So part of the legal team is every Saturday of each month, there's a different specialty. And so you're going to be, in a couple of months, you're going to be joining me on a Saturday show at 11 o'clock on and for those of you who, if you miss it, you'll be able to see it as well. So I'm really excited that we've been able to create Lily's Legal Dream Team because, you know, we all want to be responsible. We all want to be responsible, but life does happen. Do you want your life to completely change, or do you want to be proactive and do things that will help you live, continue, even though this might be something incredibly awful that happens to you? But continue living the life of your dreams and learning them with gifts and lessons. Everything has a gift and a lesson. And I want to encourage you to view everything as a gift and a lesson. Even if it's a difficult gift and horrible wrapping paper, it's still a gift and a lesson. And if you want to learn about that kind of responsibility living, that responsible living, that even if it's a situation that is just horrible, that you still find that gift and lesson, I'm going to encourage you to subscribe to whenyouneedafriend.com. This is where we have these kinds of conversation that maybe are tough, but at the same time, provide an answer to a new purpose in your life. And so if you do that, when you subscribe to whenyouneedafriend.com, make sure you confirm, because once you confirm, you'll get free gifts and you'll be able to get the show delivered right to your phone or your tablet. So that's not the only reason. I want you to go to my sponsors, which Kate Messick is a sponsor for WBOB. I'm excited for my legal dream team. And figure out a way that you will support my sponsors. Because of them, this show, okay, so we talk about things that you normally do not know you don't know, that you don't get in the media, we talk about here. And so I want to encourage you to go to whenyouneedafriend.com, become a subscriber, and check out all my social media, including my YouTube videos, because this show, most of the shows are on YouTube, and then we'll also put them on Facebook as well. That way you'll get the conversation between the show. So the conversation continues, even though the mics are off, we continue, the cameras are rolling, and you'll get to hear that as well. So check me out on demand, and as always, you can call me or text me. So when you call, leave a message, but text me a question if you have a question for Kate, if you're thinking or contemplating on going forward, and if maybe you need an attorney. I am just excited to be able to help you pick someone beyond a phone book, someone that you can hear and someone who really, truly cares. So you can call me at 407-373-5959. That's 407-373-5959. And so today we have Kate Messick of Messick Law. And for those of you who would like to have a private consult or maybe call the office, it's 904-619-2510. And that information, if you're a subscriber, you have that all already. It's in my blog, because once a week I send out a blog and you'll get to know the insider scoop before anybody else who's on. And she is off of St. Augustine Road, 6550 St. Augustine Road, Suite 305 in Jacksonville. And so I want to encourage you to, if you have a question. Now, if somebody has a question for you, Kate, and thank you so much for being on the show today. But if somebody has a question for you, can they just call and ask you a quick question, or do you schedule a consult?
On my criminal cases, I always offer a free consultation. So a lot of times if I'm in court, I'll call you back that same day. But if I am there, I'll take the call and talk to people.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Wow. And so it doesn't cost anything to call you.
No.
To ask.
It's
and
a
then
free
you'll,
consultation.
And you'll be able to say right there, yes, I can represent you, or no, I cannot represent you.
I would think so, yeah, because I like to know a little bit about the case or what's going on, or is it a driver's license issue? A little bit of a history, and then we can certainly say. And if I can't help, I'll honestly tell them right away, I can't help you. I don't want to waste your time.
That's right. Or your time, because
exactly.
You could be doing something else to help someone else. So here's the question. At the beginning of the show, I talked about when I'm in trouble with the law, when you're mm-hmm. in trouble with the law. But what happens when your child or someone that's a minor is in trouble with the law? And how do you handle that, Kate? How is that different than dealing with an adult?
Thank you for segueing into that, Lily. I do think a lot of the folks that I deal with are first-time offenders, and they're usually very young, 18, 19, 20-year-olds. Even someone in college in their early 20s are very young, and a criminal case will have an enormous effect on their life,
sure.
But it affects their entire family. So I end up having the parents, the family in my office, and then we try to find a way of either how to get the case dropped, how to make sure it doesn't affect their future. But I also strongly believe that for someone who's young, part of my job is to make sure they don't end up in my office again.
Yeah.
And I know how that sounds, but that person also needs to learn a little bit of a lesson. And the parents are always on board with me on that, because they don't want their child in trouble again.
Yeah. You know, this is really important, because, you know, we want to spare our children great pain. Mm-hmm. But it's that same pain that creates change. So how do you balance out? How do you advise? Because as I was sitting with you, because I interviewed you before you came on this show, because I wanted to make sure I would go to you. And so as I sat there and I was listening to you, I saw an increased passion because I saw more of a coach in that situation, a life coach that you almost put yourself in that child's situation, and you got really, I could see the emotion within you. It's like, you know, sometimes we just can't enable our children. So let's start from that very beginning. Let's talk about your belief on that.
You're absolutely right. The word enable, I think, is key. And I also believe that we're not just attorneys. We're attorneys and counselors at law. Mm-hmm. So as the counselor at law, my job is to make sure they understand the severe consequences. Mm-hmm. And it's sometimes harder to get through to an 18-year-old that drug conviction or a DUI may ruin their life or their career.
Yes.
So the lesson for the parents sometimes, or I have to remind them, is that you want to help them. You want to make sure this doesn't ruin their life. Mm-hmm. But you also cannot be the constant source of, I will get you out of jail on that phone call.
Yeah.
So it's a really tough conversation sometimes to have with a parent to say, I just met with your son. He thinks this is very easy. And the night in jail didn't do anything. And I've said it to parents before, and this is going to sound bad for a criminal defense attorney, you should keep him in jail for one more night.
Very good.
You should leave him in and see what happens. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but most of the time that person comes out and they're like, I never want to be here. You don't belong there.
Yeah.
So they've learned their lesson.
That's a tough, tough, tough line.
Mm-hmm.
As parents, we are to raise our children fearing certain things, but we want to empower them to believe that they can do just about anything.
Absolutely.
But when you have a child that is a young adult, they're not a kid anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, they say boys will be boys. No, boys will be men.
Right.
And so we need to teach our boys to be men. We need to teach our young ladies to be women. And so there's certain conduct that we as parents, we want our children to be spared. But in the same token, if we do that, it's going to create this long line of, when will they learn this lesson? So how many times have you found yourself saying to a parent, let them sleep overnight because the child is like, my parents will pay for it. No worries.
It doesn't happen very often, but
good,
I've done
good.
It. And again, as a mom, I know how difficult it is for a parent to do something like this because you don't want to see your child in jail. You don't want to see your child in trouble. But I also think that it's important sometimes for me to get the parents out of that conference room.
Yeah.
And to hear what the child has to say because they are the client. I need to know what their wishes are, but I also, it's easier for me to have that honest conversation with them.
Yes, because you're not their mom now, and they're not pleasing you. They don't need
exactly.
to please you.
And I tell them, exactly, I'm not your parent. I am your lawyer. I'm not here to lecture you. I'm here to simply give you the truth, mm-hmm. and you need to understand. And at that point, they are the adult in the room. They're not the child, and the parents are sitting next to them. You put them in that very different position of responsibility as the client. And I've seen it work. I've seen it work with juveniles where I had that conversation without parents. I've seen it with adults, you know. Where
now, if a parent thinks that they're like headed towards that path, would it be good for them to bring the child to an attorney to say, hey, if you continue doing this, this is what could happen to you? Have you ever done that?
I've only done that in a scenario where someone's already been in trouble and they needed a reminder.
reminder. You know what? You never know when you're going to need an attorney. Kate Messick is here for you, big or small. She is your friend. And we're going to continue our conversation worldwide at whenyouneedafriend.com. We'll be right here waiting for you.
You can text Lillian McDermott or leave her a voicemail at 407-373-5959. Once again, here's Lillian.
And welcome back to the Lily McDermott Radio Show, where I am loving the text. I am loving the text. So a quick question. We are talking with Kate Messick of Messick Law. Messick Law is at 6550 St. Augustine Road in Jacksonville, Florida. Her number is 904-619-2510. Now, and if you want to go to her website, it's M-E-S-I-C-L-A-W. That's Messick Law, M-E-S-I-C-L-A-W. Now, you also speak Russian. Yes, I
first language.
Yes, your first language is Russian, but you speak English very well as an English major and a Juris Doctorate. You do a very wonderful job. So we have been talking about DUIs, which is a juicy conversation, but that's not the only reason that you would need a criminal defense attorney. So we got the text that what happens if you are passed out, car running, you're in the passenger side. Now, what would you say to that?
I think that's a great law school exam question for criminal law because there are a lot of issues there. You still, and that's what we talked about before, is there actual and physical control of the car? Of course, I would argue that absolutely not, and you're not in the driver's seat, and you couldn't operate a car from a passenger side.
Mm-hmm.
And the prosecutor, again, I wonder if that case has ever happened. I've actually never seen that, but I will tell you, I've seen a DUI on a bicycle.
Of course, you can get a DUI on a bicycle. Of course.
Well, I didn't sign that warrant. But I think there are a lot of components to that question. But my gut feeling, I would very strongly say this should not be a DUI case because it is. You are not in actual physical control of the car. Now, if you're sleeping and you're across, or maybe you're leaning over into the passenger seat and you were really in the driver's seat, mm-hmm. and you're the only person in the car, again, you know, I would ask the questions, who else is there? Is it your car? Is there alcohol in the car? You know, there's all sorts of things that come in.
Yeah.
So it's difficult to answer right away.
Great question. The best case scenario is go to the back seat.
Go to the back seat or just get a hotel room, get an Uber.
Yes, call your parents.
Absolutely.
Yeah, call your parents or call a friend. You know, we do need a lifeline once in a while.
Absolutely.
We all phone a friend. You should have a friend that you have a deal with. You know, I'll call you if I need you or you call me if you need me without any questions. And I used to say that to my kids. Mm-hmm. No questions asked. I'll come pick you up. I will not ask a question. If you feel ever uncomfortable in any situation, no questions asked, I will pick you up. And of course, I'll be going, what were you doing?
On the way back.
On the way back. Mom, you said you were going to do this. Okay, so this is the question. Now, we're talking about DUIs. Let's talk about other situations that a criminal defense attorney might be, that you've seen cases.
Certainly. And I handle a variety of cases from drug possessions of both misdemeanor and felony size, burglaries. There's a lot of theft offenses that take place. Believe it or not, a petty theft can still affect your employment opportunities because nobody wants to hire someone who had a theft arrest or even a notice to appear.
So what is a petty theft? What does that mean?
Petty theft is a misdemeanor offense, and there's a first and a second degree. So it depends on the amount that was stolen.
So is there a cap on the amount for petty theft?
For petty theft, it's $300. Anything over $300 becomes grand theft. It becomes a felony.
Okay.
So think of it this way. You know, as a prosecutor, I've seen cases as low as $5. Somebody decided to steal, you know, an 18-year-old girl goes to Claire's and decides to take a lipstick. And unfortunately, the officers still write them a notice to appear. And a notice to appear is basically for someone who is not a flight risk. So it's a document in lieu of an arrest, basically. Mm. But it can still affect your life. I mean, you don't want your child disclosing on a college application that they were involved in a theft situation.
Mm.
So, and then I also will tell you, I've had scenarios where people cannot get an apartment because they have a criminal history.
In a situation like that, how can you help them?
If they qualify for a sealing or an expungement, we've done the sealing. And in the meantime, I've written a letter to the landlord saying once this is done, they won't have anything on their record. I've actually done this twice now.
Wow.
And it has worked. but you have to educate the landlord, so to speak. But if they don't qualify, unfortunately, they may be in a lot of trouble.
Well, let's talk about the cost, because, you know, if you're trying to get an apartment and you're a young person, you have these records, nobody's going to hire you. At what point can you do this for yourself? Is it do it yourself, or is this something that you can go to? Do you do any pro bono? Do you do? I mean, are there things that we can do, or should we just start saving money so that we can get this all taken care of?
So again, big picture on the ceiling on the expungement. That is the end of the process once someone either entered a plea or had their case dropped or was convicted at trial. So that's the very end of the process. And people call me daily. I have these conversations. I screen their cases to see if they qualify. Okay. And it's important to point out that in Florida, you can do this one time in a lifetime.
One time. So you better use it right.
Exactly. So if you want to, I'll give you kind of the scenario I usually give, because it may be someone who has been arrested twice. But as long as that they've never been convicted of a crime, even if it's a possession of alcohol under 21, if they were adjudicated guilty, later on, they may get a case which is a withhold of adjudication. But if they have a prior conviction, they don't qualify. I've actually gone back and set aside some of those cases, you know, as basically a mercy plea to the judge. Don't ruin someone's career. Mm. But to answer your question in terms of the ceiling or an expungement, I charge a flat fee on those cases. Okay. It's a technical process that takes about 4 to 6 months, where we deal with the Florida Department of Law Enforcement. And then once they approve it, we petition the court.
That's great.
And get an order.
So a flat fee.
It is a flat fee.
So it doesn't matter how much time you're doing, spending on it, it's a flat fee. Can you share the cost?
Absolutely.
Or is it individual? Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. So on sealing and expungement, if someone qualifies, my fee is $850.
That's great. That can change your life.
Absolutely. And my website has a lot of frequently asked questions on it. And there is additional cost that goes to the state of Florida of about $150. Mm-hmm. So you're looking at about $1,000 cost. And I do the screening for free. Mm-hmm. And really what I need to know is, what is your criminal history and what is the outcome of the case? And we can usually just look that up, because believe it or not, people that call me, when you ask them, what happened? I got probation. And I'm going, were you convicted? Were you not? I don't know.
Wow.
They don't understand the concept.
It is complicated.
Yeah.
And it's great that you can put this in terms that we can understand. The other day I was reading something, and it had to do with a chemotherapy paper. It was a PubMed. Mm. And as I was reading it, I thought, does that say what it meant? I had to read it like 5 times to completely understand and absorb what it was. I actually wrote an article about it. It's on today. But the whole situation is to have someone there to say, this is what you're up against. These are the risks. These are the benefits. And then you choose from a place of knowing, as opposed to, I don't know.
That is exactly right. And you bring up a great point to kind of shift from the beginning of the process from the end.
Yeah.
We get calls that people have been arrested and they've entered a plea at first appearance.
Mm.
And I think it's the worst possible thing you could do, because you just spent the night in jail. You're scared. You don't know what's going on. Don't enter a plea. You know, get the bond. Get out of jail.
Keep your mouth shut.
Exactly.
But what if they're like drilling them? You hear about these cases where the police officers are trying to get a confession out of you.
Well, I'm talking about the process once someone has been arrested.
Okay, once arrested. Okay.
So at first appearance, this is where it happens. The first time you see the judge, the morning off.
I've been watching too much Drop Dead Diva. We're going to straighten you out. So this is wonderful. Thank you so much. I wish we had more time.
I'm
grateful for the text. I'm grateful for our viewers on Facebook. So again, it's Messick Law, Kate Messick, and she's a criminal defense attorney, former prosecutor. So I would go to her. So I'm bringing her as Lily's legal dream team, and I hope that if you're ever in need, not necessarily in trouble with the law, maybe you have a question, she's my friend that you can go to as well. That's 904-619-2510. Thank you so much, Kate, for being on the Lily McDermott Radio Show.
Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed it.
And to you, my listening friends, and now my Facebook friends, I hope you will never need Kate, but if you do, you know what to do. Please remember, I'll be right here waiting for you worldwide at whenyouneedafriend.com. This is Lillian McDermott wishing you love, peace, joy, and unexpected abundance. Make it the best day ever.
The opinions and advice expressed on the Lillian McDermott radio show are intended for the individual callers and guests on the program and are presented to our wider audience solely for general educational purposes. Please act responsibly and consult personally with your own medical, psychological, or nutritional expert before taking any steps to improve your life.